So how can we employ artificial intelligence to make our traffic lights smarter? It's a good question, and one a startup company from Wisconsin, Shepherd Traffic, is looking to answer. The founder of Shepherd Traffic is Joel Roberts, and he joins us now on the Larry Mueller Show. Good afternoon. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today. And Joel Roberts is also a doctoral student in civil engineering at UW-Milwaukee. If you have questions about creating smarter traffic lights or how to employ AI in civil engineering ways, you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email anytime to talk@wpr.org. And Joel Roberts, welcome to the Larry Mueller Show.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for having me. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear. And I want to start with a basic problem that you identified, but I want to see it through your eyes as someone with experience in civil engineering. What's the problem with our traffic lights as you see it through that perspective, Joel?
Well, I'm actually fairly recent to civil engineering, but the way I see it just as a driver or someone getting through is have you ever stopped at a red light and no one's coming? Maybe it's late at night and you've just sat there and waited and there seemed to be no reason for it?
All the time.
Yeah. That's what bugs me a lot, really, is just the idea that there's all these timings and they're just set beforehand and maybe you get to it and it's not great. What I think is that there's a way to actually see the entire intersection, see everybody in the intersection, exactly where they're at and where they're going, and at that moment, change lights based on that specifically. A very advanced form of adaptive traffic control is the idea. Essentially a robot traffic cop, if you will.
A robot traffic cop. What does advanced traffic lights look like right now? How smart can a traffic light be with the technology that's currently employed, Joel?
Yeah, so they actually get pretty good. So the most basic traffic light you'll get just has a fixed timing pattern that says, like, you know, 30 seconds to east-west, 45 seconds north-south, yellow-reds. A step above that, you'll get, like, ground loops in your pavement that detect if a car is there.
Mm-hmm.
And can say, all right, let the main line go unless someone comes, and you can turn a red and let someone turn right on, like, a minor road. You get a step higher, you'll get video detection where you can actually see multiple locations all the way back. So you can tell not just if there is a car there, but like how many in a stack, and then try to change timings a little bit that way. That's like actuated and adaptive. That's about where it gets right now.
And so you want to take it to the next level through Shepherd Traffic. And how is that going to be employed, Joel?
Yeah. So, basically, what we're trying to do is not just be able to detect if a car or a pedestrian is at a location through that type of sensor, but actually detect, using computer vision specifically, exactly where every object is and its full trajectory. So not just is there a car at the stop line, is there a car five spots back, but is there a car coming, how fast is it coming, how much delay would it get if we changed the light to green in 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 10 seconds, right? And figuring out a way to optimize what's the best change from red to green specifically to get not just one car through, but everything through, including pedestrians, bikes, all of that.
So
a very mathematical problem.
Yeah. What you're creating is a predictive model based on everything's location and its speed or acceleration.
Exactly. Yep.
And would that include traffic beyond cars, Joel?
Yeah. Yeah. I did. Now, I'll say this, cars are the easiest to detect, especially with computer vision generally, just because they're, you know, big and 4,000 pounds. And metal.
Hard to miss.
But yeah, they're really hard to miss. And pedestrians tend to be a lot smaller. But what we're doing is we're actively trying to improve the computer vision models themselves so that we can catch pedestrians, bicyclists, basically every single mode, right? You don't want to just make it great for cars and then all of a sudden pedestrians have a hard time, right? You can see a lot of that in your urban core urbanism where it's hard to get around, or maybe if you go to a suburb and it's just a strip mall and there's literally no pedestrians because all of the design was built around just letting cars through, right? So letting it be holistic and also letting that start to influence design, right? It's really common as a traffic engineer, if you're a traffic engineer, to get car counts but not even get any pedestrian counts just because there isn't any pedestrian activity at a location.
Right.
we're hoping to be able to make getting that information so much easier that it becomes almost stupid not to get that information and take it to that.
Almost stupid not to get that information. Joel, yeah. What does traffic look like with your system as you see it fully implemented at full speed with the technology you need in place? What does it look like from a commuter's perspective if everything goes as planned?
Well, ideally, and by the way, this our adaptive traffic control is still a while out. There's a lot of technical stuff we have to get there, but ideally, as a driver, if you have like perfect adaptive control, you wouldn't notice it, right? You just like you'd stop thinking about it, right? No one thinks about traffic until it's bad,
right?
Right? No one thinks about all the lights that you hit on a lucky streak. You only think about when you're sitting, right? Ideally, you'd forget that traffic engineering even exists. You'd forget that traffic was an idea, right? That's an ideal world where no one even remembers anything we're doing. We're just in the background making it all work properly.
So how would artificial intelligence be employed to use some of the technology at Shepherd Traffic, Joel?
So we use computer vision models to detect from video. That's probably the most base model we use. So that's a lot of object detection, object tracking and stuff. That's not exactly like the ChatGPT or the large language models that a lot of people hear about. Although we do use that specifically for developing the software, right?
Okay.
That really helps us learn. That helps us iterate really, really fast. That helps us do more research more effectively. But really, the root of the artificial intelligence we're using are these vision models that can see more in depth, more in detail, and not just see in depth and in detail, but see in depth and in detail fast enough that we don't have to buy a massive data center to process it.
Oh, interesting. So this would be processed on site or at least on a smaller scale?
Yeah. So the initial product we're working on would be a way to put in traffic video if you're a traffic engineer and get out trajectory data and specifically counts and speed and classification, right? That's the lowest bar we can say. We can process video. To take a step above that, we'd be able to do something like real-time analytics. So instead of taking a video after you've taken it and putting it in, processing video as it comes. That specifically would require like an edge device, which is essentially a really strong computer inside of a traffic control box that's getting those video feeds that already exist in real time, processing them in real time, and then sending data back and informing the controller, right?
Joel Roberts, our guest, he is the founder of Shepherd Traffic and a doctoral student in civil engineering at UW-Milwaukee. And we're taking a look at his, as he calls it, robot traffic cop that gives that could develop a predictive model that would make traffic run smoother through intersections. And if you have a question for Joel, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. I am interested in human behavior in your algorithm here, because what if somebody doesn't turn on their blinker and yet still intends to turn? What if somebody isn't looking and is running a red light? How do you incorporate the bad habits of questionable drivers into your model, Joel?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the predictive aspect, you have to remember, we're not trying to predict exactly what's going to happen. And the future is unknowable anyway. Maybe someone puts on their right turn
right. And
they fully intend to turn right. Then they forget, oh, yeah, I have to make this left and I should actually go through, right? So at every single point in your trajectory, what we'd be able to do is use all the previous data of trajectories we have beforehand and use that to predict not exactly where it's going for sure, but every place it could go and then the probability, right? So someone's at the right – if someone's at the right turn lane, but it's also a through lane, we'd say, well, maybe it's 60% chance they go through, 40% chance they go right, right? And we can use that as a weighted probability. And that starts to get really technical of, you know, let's make it good so that 60% of the time it also works okay and 40% of the time it works okay. And dealing with that as an expected trajectory or all the set of possible expected trajectories at once.
That sounds not like a large language model, but a large traffic model or a large human behavioral model that you have taken into account all the possibilities and come up with probabilities that would help direct traffic more efficiently. Does that sound right?
Yeah, yeah. And essentially, we're trying to really get down to the granular level where we're trying to be able to predict what does one specific person do, right? What's the delay that one specific car or one specific pedestrian would experience if I change the lights this way or that way? Or, you know, if we add a roundabout or a stop sign, what do those very specific, every single person taken into account, what are those delays? What do those metrics look like?
Let's go to your questions and comments now, and we'll start with Scott in Kewaunee. Scott, good afternoon. You're on the air with Joel Roberts, founder of Shepherd Traffic.
I really enjoy your program. A lot of information given out. Really appreciate it. My question is, I drive a lot in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they've talked there about all the just unbelievable traffic problems flowing on the outer belts. In other words, people are just driving. There's no traffic controls involved, yet things get jumbled up. And I know they've talked about purposely making people vary their speeds to kind of slow them down at points and speed them up at points by use of speed limits. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there's anything being talked about that, because there are literally signs in Cincinnati, Ohio, that will tell you you are 14 miles from your next exit. Takes you 25 minutes to get there. And there's no reason why the traffic isn't flowing better than that. It's really discouraging, frankly.
We can all relate to that. And I always blame the lane changers that are somewhere in front of me that continue to bounce left to right, right to left, and trying to figure out the better lane always seems to be the one that stops everybody behind them. It's a great question. Can we move this technology beyond intersections and help the
Absolutely.
Flow of how so?
Yeah, so what we're trying to study not necessarily is just what an intersection is, but actually traffic itself all the way down to every single actor. So intersections just happen to be one specific case where we can do that. And what you're talking about where people are experiencing delays randomly along that outer belt, that's actually a symptom of the density of the highway getting overcrowded, right? And like imagine it like this. Imagine there's a mile of highway. You ever heard of the 3-second rule when you're driving? You want to make sure that
You
pick a spot like a pole, you want to be 3 seconds behind it. You want to pass 3 seconds after it. Well, that's actually an amount of distance. And so so you can imagine there's only so much distance between every single car when there are so many cars. And so the maximum speed you can actually get based on the density, you actually get like fluid flow dynamics. And so why they're telling you to slow down or speed up is usually because right around when it gets really traffic heavy, it's because there's going to be a bunch of cars entering entering the highway mm-hmm. from a new on-ramp, but there's not a sufficient off-ramp to take them on. So you're getting denser at that point, so everyone has to slow down. That's actually where those traffic comes from. And what they're saying is slow down in anticipation. So instead of coming to a complete stop, which is really, really annoying, just be a little bit slower for a little bit and try to ease the traffic, right? So that's one of those situations we could deal with. Now, when you're talking about what's the problem with the outer belt, to me that actually sounds like a bit of an urban planning problem, right?
Hmm.
Not necessarily that it's hard to get everywhere. It's that as cities expand and suburbanize, a lot of times you're actually creating traffic by what you develop. So if I build, you know, a grocery store in the middle of a city where everyone already is, maybe it takes 5 minutes to drive there, 15 minutes by bus, or 20 minutes to walk, right? And so that's the amount of time it takes. If I build a grocery store on the outskirts of town, all of a sudden everyone can get to it and there's parking, but it takes 40 minutes to drive for some people, 20 minutes to drive. So you're actually increasing the amount of time and traffic you're on the road per trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at something like that, what's probably happening in Cincinnati, and I can probably look at a map somewhere. What's probably happening in Cincinnati is they've suburbanized so much to the point that almost every trip you need to take requires a car.
Hmm.
And every trip you take is longer than it needs to be because everything's spaced out with things like mandatory parking minimums or just excessive parking lots. So part of the problem isn't just that there's too many cars on the road. The problem is every trip you need to take requires a car and is farther than it probably needs to be. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Joel, where is Shepherd Traffic right now in terms of getting ready to go to market? What's the timeline for your business moving forward?
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of vision research over the last 8 months. We think we've hit a useful breakthrough that can turn our data engine good enough that we can start selling counts specifically. So actually in the next couple of weeks, we're hoping to get on the phone with traffic engineers we've already spoken to, start showing them the data we can generate, and actually start selling counts within the next month.
Wow. What will the advent of self-driving cars do to your business plan, Joel?
Not really much, honestly.
Okay.
I actually think it's not the worst thing if it's done well and intelligently, and we make sure that, you know, as self-driving cars are better than people in other areas, we also make sure they're not worse than other ones, right? But, you know, self-driving cars and specifically decreasing the cost of, like, a taxi or an Uber or whatever, that can actually make it cheaper to get places, that can make it more convenient to get around a city without needing a car necessarily. That can also reduce the need of a lot of parking because more people just take a trip, car doesn't park, you get through. So we're not really worried about it. I think we're actually excited about what new types of mobility we can create, right?
What's the biggest challenges you've faced so far at Shepherd Traffic?
The vision models we're working with. So when I initially started working on this idea, my hope was that computer vision was good enough that we wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel. And then we did a bunch of research and we found out, oh, no, we actually kind of do. So over the last 8 months, we've been kind of reinventing the wheel.
Yes, but this is your own wheel now, so it's proprietary. It's Shepherd Traffic's wheel.
For now.
We'll see where that goes.
We're hoping to open source some of the technology eventually, but yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you'd make it available to others at some point, perhaps.
Yeah, well, some of the computer vision work we're doing is actually, it's not specific to traffic, right? It's computer vision in general, and there's a lot of other areas that could use maybe a better tracker, a better detection model, or better vision paradigm, if you will, right? So we'd be really open to letting some of that research get out, you know, once we're on decent financial ground, I guess.
Well, what's it like getting a startup off the ground in Wisconsin? Because from what I've seen, there has been a lot of support from the community, from businesses. I see here the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. You were the winner of the $2,500 grand prize at the WISSIST Big Idea Pitch Competition. What's it been like getting this business off the ground in Wisconsin for you, Joel?
Yeah, so I have to say that there's been, well, one of the things that's really been helped us actually exist and stay in the game as long as we have is just being able to find people in the community who are actually willing to help, right? So you mentioned the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center.
Mm-hmm.
They're at UW-Milwaukee. They've done so much in helping us go forward, right? They actually, they hosted the local Spark Big Idea contest, which we also won. They've given us access to grants and accelerators and, you know, things like that. There's also Milwaukee Tech Hub, which has provided grants and education. There's the WCTC, Wisconsin Center for Technology Commercialization. I actually started working on this before I was a grad student, and my current advisor, Dr. Xiao Chin at UW-Milwaukee, he actually kind of recruited me in because I was working as a math teacher at the time, so I didn't have as much time working on it as I would have liked, right? So, you know, just the people and the collaborative nature and the amount of people who are working hard to support people like us is really, really super valuable. And, you know, we couldn't be more grateful.
It sounds like you had a great idea that everybody who has been stopped at a red light would think, yes, I wish this were a reality. But beyond that great idea is getting it off the ground, finding the means to keep it going long enough where you're able to, in your words, reinvent a wheel of your own that would be more useful in your technology. And it sounds like Wisconsin's been a very much an integral part in developing all of that, Joel.
Yeah, very much.
That's very cool.
And I mean, kind of the market problem that we're really trying to face is, yes, someone would be very happy if it worked, but also it's really hard to make things work, right? It's the traffic light. You don't want it to work 95% of the time and then break every now and again. If you're trying to sell an app, maybe that's okay, but
right.
Not if you're trying to deal with infrastructure. Also, the people who experience traffic delays, those aren't the people fixing it. It's a whole profession of traffic engineering that specializes, right? And we need to be able to not just say, here's a brand new idea you should do that a bunch of other people have looked into, but hey, here's how we can help what you're doing now and set you on a path to doing more interesting, more groundbreaking work that I'm sure you're more excited to do anyway, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thing trying to sell to governments at the end of the day, because the people who benefit aren't the people who pay for it.
And right? yet it would be a quality of life issue that you would think would improve a quality of life and would be a benefit for all. So it would be just the sort of thing that governments would be interested in investing in if it were worth the money.
Right. If it were worth the money, and even if they have the money, right? So that also becomes another thing.
Yeah.
So, and one of the detriments of current existing adaptive systems is they're actually really hard to maintain, right? There's specialists from vendors who have to know all the things, and you have to be on call a bunch of times, and it costs money to continually maintain. Whereas if you set a timing pattern, you just set the buttons and let it go and come back to it every 3 to 5 years, right? So being able to not just decrease the price tag, but also the amount of times you have to call because it's broken, the amount of times you have to call because the wire slipped or a storm happened and it hit, you know, right, we just had a huge flood.
Right.
How many traffic lights are still working? That's such a good thing. How do we keep that type of resilience in the grid without adding new fragility, right? Those are really, really hard problems to solve.
Just to reiterate here, Joel, what are the benefits you see of this technology from your company, Shepherd Traffic? And the first thing I'd think of is efficiency. I'm not going to burn as much fuel just sitting at a red light. Some of the other aspects I can think of, perhaps ultimately more money for infrastructure if we're spending less on the systems at the with traffic flow. What are the benefits you see?
Yeah, so for a consumer or people getting around, I'd see better efficiency. But what really excites me is what we'd be able to do to help the engineers and municipalities and the governments who are working on this. What we'd really like to do in our first product, this traffic analytics software, is be able to massively decrease the cost of getting analytics like counts and speed studies. So you could not just get what you're getting and save money, but you can get way more information. And you can start to understand your grid way cheaper, way easier, in a way that was never before possible.
Sure. And Joel, that sounds like a win-win. We're out of time, but I hope we get to talk to you again as your company continues to develop down the road. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Joel Roberts, a doctoral student in civil engineering at UW-Milwaukee and the founder of Shepherd Traffic, which sounds like a robot traffic cop that has given us the green light. I want to thank our guests for joining us today and you as well for joining along. I want to thank our team that makes it all possible with a reminder that Larry Mueller returns tomorrow with a look at real self-confidence, recovery from brain injury, and a checkup on our hearing health, all coming up tomorrow with Larry Mueller. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you are listening to WPR News.